learn from it, know how to apply it. I just pray you'd help us to pick up things out of the Bible that a lot of times is missed, and that we can be a better people, more Christ-like, the more Bible we know. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, Joshua 9, they're coming into the land of Canaan. What Moses could not do, bring into the land of Canaan, Joshua did. In verse 1 of chapter 9, you may need to run the cross-reference to Deuteronomy chapter 7. So Deuteronomy 7 would be the original order that God gave Israel about coming into this new land. Joshua 9 is giving the account. So I'll read Joshua 9:1. And it came to pass when all the kings which were on this side Jordan in the hills and in the valleys and in the coast of the great sea over against Lebanon. Okay, the Hittite, the Amorite, the Canaanite, the Perizzite, the Hivite, and the Jebusite heard thereof. Okay, so there's six mentioned. In Deuteronomy 7, verse 1, okay, there are seven mentions. So, okay, they just overlooked one. Okay, so you got the Girgashites. Girga. It sounds like a little kid gurgling. Girgashites, Amorites, Canaanites, Perizzites, Hivites, Jebusites. Jebusites would be the ones who had Jerusalem. That's where they conquered. They were in Jerusalem. Okay, now in the Reference Bible, chapter 9, verse 1, if you go into margin, okay, you'll have Genesis 10, and that will show the race background of these nations. Okay, so these nations, if you go to Genesis 10, that will be descendants. Canaanite is the clue, Canaanites. Canaan was one of the sons of Ham, and Canaan is the one that got cursed. Not all of Ham's children, boys, were cursed. Canaanite was. And so this will be descendants from Ham. So the thing is people often say, well, the Jews come in and stole this land from these people. These people were not supposed to be there. They were trespassing. They were trespassing on God's land. They were supposed to be south. That's where the Lord wanted them, in the land of Ham down in Africa. So what the devil does, the devil knows that God has an interest in this area, so he infiltrates that area, and he has done the same today. Okay, Jerusalem today is infiltrated, this whole area. If you go to Genesis 15 at the end of the chapter, is what's called a meet and bounds description of the grant for Abraham. Okay, so a meet and bounds is a term you use in real estate where you start in a corner and you go and you follow the directions, you come back to point A. So in the meet and bounds description, it starts at the Nile River over in Egypt, and you go straight east all the way over to Euphrates, where the Garden of Eden was on the eastern side. And then you follow the Euphrates River up, kind of a north and a western direction, up to the tippy top, the mountains of Ararat. And then you come back down in a pyramid shape back down to the Nile River in Egypt. That's the entire land grant. If you go to the Christian bookstores and look at the Bible maps, you'll not find a Bible map with that land grant. They do not want the Arabs to be offended by the entire land grant. Okay, so obviously my reference Bible's got it. Okay, and there's one that came after mine that also has it. So I'm indirectly responsible for the second one. Okay, and because they started on it right after we had our discussion. So there's two of them, and then mine will also have where they really crossed the Red Sea. And that will be the entire kingdom of David, except for the tippy top. I think there's a tippy top up in that area where David didn't have. So he had that. He got that entire region. Solomon got that entire region. But the maps will not show where they crossed the sea and will not give that entire land grant, because that would be offensive to the descendants of Ishmael and Esau. So nothing has changed, has it? Okay, so that's why God told the Jews, go in there and get your land back. So if you had somebody, you don't hear much anymore about people squatting on land. You know, where, you know, back in Depression days, people didn't have land. They would go in, they'd call it squatters' rights. You know, and Dad would tell stories about the Swishers in his area. The Swishers, they're a very poor family. Dad's got some great stories. We need to record all these great stories. But the Swishers were very poor, and they squatted in this one area. I know what Jan and Angel's talking about, laughing about back there. So, look at those two, red faced, as red as a pew. Okay, and so the Swishers had they'd lived in this woods, like, right, Dad? And it was close to this one of this farmer's house, and he was kind of upset that they lived there. And so he said to Dad's dad, my grandpa, that he wants to get them out of there. So, and my grandpa was a compassionate man. He said, why? They're not hurting anybody. Well, I want them out of there. And so my grandpa, started clearing a plot of ground on his property right across from the house of this farmer. Right across the house. Isn't that wisdom? And the farmer said, what are you doing, Mark? What are you doing? He said, well, they got to have a place to live. He didn't want them right across the house. And so they let them stay in the woods. So that's where they got to stay. They got to stay in the woods. They and the chickens and the hogs and everybody in the house. Okay, and so these Canaanites, Hittites, Hivites, all these people were trespassing on God's property. So the devil would get his people in there to trespass, and they were perverted people. They were perverted, as Leviticus 18 writes. Okay, and so that's why God said, you got to wipe them out. Just like he did Sodom and Gomorrah, just like he did the world of Noah's day. And so he did that, and he said to Israel, okay, you got to take care of this. You've got to wipe them out. Make no agreements, none whatsoever. So that's the group, chapter 9, verse 1. Okay, and then in verse 2, and they gathered themselves together to fight with Joshua and with Israel with one accord. Now, that has not changed. You talk about a people holding a grudge. You know, all the way back, they're still mad about Esau not getting that land grant and Ishmael not getting the land. They're still mad about that. Joshua is a type of Christ. Remember, his name is the name Jesus. Joshua and Jesus. And so this tells us that the world is going to fight. The world is going to fight against Jesus Christ and his people. So that's why we experience that. And they're going to fight with one accord. Now, Israel today is infiltrated. Okay, and this is where a lot of people don't recognize that the Jews today, you have fake Jews, you have apostate Jews, you have counterfeit Jews. You've got natural-born Jews who are sincerely following Judaism. And so you've got a bunch of different types. You've got the Kabbalah. You've got Satanism. You've got three religions that want control of Jerusalem: Catholics, the Muslims, and the Jews. And then you throw in Satanism. Now, Bill Snebland said this. Satanism is rampant, and it is very powerful in Jerusalem. So Satan has a great interest in Jerusalem. Okay, so verse 3. And when the inhabitants of Gibeon... Okay, so Gibeon is one of those seven Ite cousins. Heard what Joshua had done unto Jericho and to Ai. They did work wily. The Wile E. Coyote. Okay, now when we read these stories in the Bible, okay, how do we apply these things? A lot of people just read through the Bible and then they don't look at their life and say, I can learn something from this. I can get something out of this. There's a lot given right here if we just apply it to ourselves. How do you know if somebody's working wily against you? Read the story and then apply that to life. They did work wily and went and made as if they had been ambassadors and took old sacks upon their asses and wine bottles, old and rent and bound up, and old shoes and clod upon their feet and old garments upon them, and all the bread of their provision was dry and moldy. Okay, so Joshua's not seeing that. You and I are seeing the behind the scenes. And they went to Joshua unto the camp at Gilgal and said unto him and to the men of Israel, we be come from a far country. Okay, so Joshua, is that how they talk? We be, you know, we be all dead men. That's what the Egyptians said. Okay, or are they feigning? Are they feigning uneducated so that these people are going to give in to them? It's hard to say. We be come from a far country. Now therefore make ye a league with us. Okay, league, King James only word. And the men of Israel said unto the Hivites, okay, now we know what group they're with. Peradventure ye dwell among us, and how shall we make a league with you? Okay, so they knew at the end of chapter 8, they had read through the entire book of Deuteronomy at least. And in there it says, don't you make a league with these people. Don't do it. So they had read that. So in their mind, they're saying, how do we know that you don't live among us? We're not supposed to make a league with you. And they said unto Joshua, we are thy servants. They didn't answer the question. You ever watch news broadcasters, newscasters answer a politician a question? They don't answer it. Now, sometimes if the question is stupid, they ought to tell them it is. Trump is about the only one that's ever done this. Okay, because sometimes their questions are designed to trip you up. So say that to them. Okay, but the thing is they didn't answer the question. Now, they'll do this to their preferred candidate. They'll ask a question, and then you hear the answer like, he didn't even answer the question. But they don't come back with the question. If it's somebody they don't like, they'll come back and say, you didn't answer it. So when you get in discussion with people and get talking about some things, and you ask a question and they don't answer it, I'm not saying be rude. I'm saying in your mind, take note of that. Learn. Someone's not answering a question. Now, you could bring it back up if you wish, and you bring it. And whenever I get in discussion with somebody, especially in a one-on-one thing, I don't try to get them on the defensive. Some people just lie, get you on the defensive, you know, and they feel like they've got a big mark on their gun. No, I take the blame on myself. If I don't understand something, okay, if somebody's made a statement and I don't agree with the statement and the Lord wants me to say something, I'm not going to come up and say, I disagree with you. I'm going to say, did I understand this correctly? I put the blame on myself. This is what I think I heard you say. Did I understand this correctly? I'm probably wrong, but could you elaborate? And then you can actually see what they believe. They feel good about themselves because they're teaching you. They're not defensive, so they're not angry. But yet you're getting the evidence from them. Okay, this is when I learned about the King James issue. Okay, grew up under King James Bible. Went to Grace College, got introduced to the new Bibles. Okay, then I began to wonder, which one do I memorize? And so my feeling was, fruity on memorizing. I'm not going to, why memorize them? And so then went to Hiles Anderson, which was King James, but in the classes they run to Greek and change words. At that time, this would have been 79, 80, 81, 82. In 84, Jack Hiles came out publicly for the King James Bible. But when he did, he lied about it, where he said, I have never corrected a book. I've always believed this book. No, he did not. Read his books. He changed it multiple times. All he had to do was say, I was wrong. This is what I believe now. Now, they continued to change things, and I knew in my heart, truly, they were not Bible believers. So in my heart, I thought, okay, it doesn't matter what they believe. It doesn't matter what anybody else says. What do you believe, sonny boy? And so I started talking to myself and said, hey, this man's a good man. God has used him. This man's a good man. God has used him. Who are you? Just some little punk. And you better figure this out. So I started writing questions or schools. And I wasn't being a smart aleck. I was studying in this process. And I wrote three questions. But I knew you need to ask questions in this situation, not showing your hand. Not asking a question where they, oh, I can see what this guy wants, so I'll answer it according to the way they think. I asked this question, number one, is do you believe the Bible is the Word of God? Number two, I asked, do you believe the Bible is preserved without error for today? Number three was, which translation do you prefer? See, you don't know what side of the fence I'm on that. Now, I wrote probably 20 schools, 18 to 20 schools on that question. Okay, and I didn't expect too many to answer. A few answered. All that answered said yes on number one. All but two of them ignored number two. And number three, they would answer that accordingly. And so I would write back. Again, I would not blame them. I would say, maybe I didn't see it. Maybe I misunderstood. I overlooked it. But I did not see an answer for number two. And boy, would I get talking then. Do you believe the Bible is the Word of God without error for today, preserved without error for today? I got four letters back and forth from Maranatha Baptist Bible College. That was a go-to college in those days. Okay, Moody Bible, they called me, thought I was a prospective student, so I let them think it. You know, I would just answer those, answer that. Gaia, Clearwater College down in Florida. I mean, all these schools, and boy, did they get going. Bob Jones III, I got a letter from Bob Jones III himself. He was so kind and gracious, and he said, who are you? What do you think you're doing? I'm tired of answering these questions. I thought, wow. And I wrote him back. I said, I'm just a guy in Indiana. I just want to get the answer straight from the horse's mouth. Yeah, I think he wrote back, and he was pretty upset at that time. And I thought, wow, why are these guys getting so upset? Well, you're pointing out that they're not Bible believers. And I had a ongoing four letters back and forth with Arno Weiniger. He was the president of Maranatha Baptist Bible. I mean, I'm dealing with the big dogs. And back and forth. And on the fourth letter he wrote back, he said, I don't think we're going anywhere with this. Because I'd ask him what his final authority was. His final authority was the Aladdin Metzger's and a received text. Now, those are terms that the average person has not heard before. I didn't know these terms either. The first time I read Ruckman's Handbook on Christian Manuscript Evidence, I read that book and I said, what did I just read? It was so confusing. And so I read it again. And then I read it a third time. And I started learning the names of these manuscripts. And when he said that, my final authority is the Aladdin Metzger's and a received text, that's like saying my final authority is the King James and the NIV. And I said, how can you have two authorities? And so he stopped the correspondence. He said, this isn't going anywhere. I don't think we're going to help you. I said, oh, no, thank you very much. You have helped me tremendously. And it was a tremendous help to me. Okay, and so what I'm saying is that when people don't answer the question, take note of that. Okay, if you're in a family discussion, okay, when somebody doesn't answer the question, and it's a good question, obviously there are some questions the Bible says, you know, genealogies and all that stuff, you know, is God strong enough to make a rock he can't pick up? You know, that's just an ignorant question. Okay, but take note of it that somebody's hiding something. Car salesman? Why is that door got that, you know, why is that sound in that engine? Oh, don't worry about that. You know, this guy really got good. No, I'm asking about that sound in that engine. What? Working wily. You apply these things in the Bible to daily life. I'm... You know, a lot of times I see people that know the Bible here and their daily life doesn't really comply with what they know from up here. And they're not applying things in the Bible. So let's watch what these guys do. Okay, in verse 7, the men of Israel said unto the Hivite, peradventure ye dwell among us, how shall we make a league with you? And they said unto Joshua, we are thy servants. Okay. We didn't ask for that, but... Okay. And Joshua said to them, who are ye and from whence come thee? Notice the question. Who are ye and from whence come ye? And they said to him, from a very far country thy servants are come because of the name of the Lord thy God. For we have heard the fame of him and all that he did in Egypt and all that he did to... You get around somebody like that, you ask, and then they just get rambling? It's like, okay, thank you very much for that message. Who are you, and from whence come thee? That's what Joshua should have done. Okay, and so, who are ye, and from whence come thee? They did not answer the question. From a very far country thy servants are come. Okay, what far country? How far is it? Where is it located? Because of the name of the Lord thy God. Well, praise the Lord. I'm glad you like our God. He is a wonderful God. But you're sidestepping the question. For we have heard the fame of him and all that he did in Egypt. Good. I'm glad you can read. And all that he did to the two kings of the Amorites that were beyond Jordan. So Sihon, king of Heshbon, to Og, king of Bashan, which was at Ashtoreth. Wherefore, our elders and all the inhabitants of our country spake to us, saying, take victuals with you for the journey and go to meet them. And say unto them, we are your servants, therefore now make ye a league with us. This our bread, I mean, just boo, boo, rambling on and on. Come on, get to the answer. This our bread we took hot for our provision out of our houses on the day we came forth to go unto you. But now, behold, it is dry and it is moldy. And these bottles of wine which we filled were new. And behold, they be rent. And these our garments and our shoes are become old by reason of the very long journey. And the men took of their victuals and asked not counsel at the mouth of the Lord. And they didn't answer the question. After, you know, if I was in Joshua's shoes and I was learning, okay, where'd you come from and who are you? We're right back to it. This is how you apply things in the Bible. This is how you apply it to everyday life. Okay? Yeah, you know, how many times have you asked somebody, if you died today, do you know for sure you're going to heaven? And they'd say, well, I got baptized. Well, I'm happy for you, but what's that got to do with my question? I asked that to a lady over in Madeiraville, and I asked her if she died today, she'd go to heaven. She said, you know what the Bible says, where the tree falleth, there it shall be. That was the one and only time I've heard that one, and she was quoting a passage out of Ecclesiastes. Why didn't she answer the question? Because a spirit guided her to sidestep the issue and was going to see if they can get you off topic. Spirits are masters of doing this. They're masters of it. And so how do you apply some of these things? Just take your time. People get in a big hurry. Why? When they get in a big hurry, they want to go from this passage, this passage, this passage. Stop, slow them down. Oh, whoa, wait, let's go back to this passage. I didn't quite get that. You know, I'm not as sharp on this as you are. You know, take the blame yourself. And just very quietly and gently start taking that knife and put it down on them and start getting into their conscience and get them to recognize, hey, you're dealing with Jesus Christ. People will talk about anything until you get the topic on Jesus Christ, and you get on Jesus Christ, they'll switch it to religion. Do you ever notice that? They switch it to religion. Okay, talk about religion for a little while, but then bring it back to Jesus. Keep him right in the forefront. This is how we learn things. We read these stories in the Bible, but do we apply it? You see, this is where you get knowledge, and wisdom comes from knowledge. And knowledge is knowing about a topic. Wisdom is knowing how you apply that topic. So maybe on the job. You know, if you ask somebody a question and the boss doesn't want you to just take note, maybe you don't need the question answered. Maybe it's not that important. Okay, but this is how the devil works, wily spirits. I mean, when you get dealing with people on the street, it's amazing how these spirits work. And you just got to kind of relax and go with the flow. And I remember witnessing to a guy in jail, and right to the point where I was kind of, you know, drawing the net to Christ, and then there's this guy who's in the back listening, and this guy in the back interrupted me right at that time, and he said, "Do you speak in tongues?" I said, "Oh, first off, the guy's a professing Christian. He can see the conversation. I'm getting the guy to this point. Why would you interrupt at that time?" It was the spirit that led him. Now, I could have got sidetracked and focused on him and lost the witness. So, you know, sometimes my sense of humor is sort of, you know, kind of weird, you know, sarcasm. And so I looked at him and said, "Of course I do. I don't speak with my ears." And he goes like this. That's what I wanted. I wanted to stun him. And I went right back to my witness. And the guy didn't ask anything else. That was a spirit that led him to do that. You know, and that's how wily Satan works. So, buying a car, buying something in a garage sale. You know, how many of us go on a garage sale? "Would you take this, and try to get them, Jew them down, oh, Dutch them down, oh, whatever, you try to get a lower price." And Proverbs says the buyer boasteth as he goes. All they're doing is trying to get it cheaper than they wanted to get it cheaper. Have you ever bought something because a person gave a fair price and just say, "I'll take it"? That's what I did on my motorcycle, my Honda. It was $7,200 for that thing. I didn't Jew the guy down. I just said, "I'll take it." The price was right, and he gave me everything but the hot kitchen sink. Along with that thing. Why would I need to Jew him down another $100, $200? So you can brag about it? If the price is fair, pay it. If they're not going to answer a question, when you got some questions, take note on it. And whether you want to proceed further, fine. Then when we read stories like this in the Bible, do we pick those things out of it? That's how we apply the Bible. Okay, so in verse 4, they did work wily. So now when you read the rest of the story, this is how people are deceptive. They don't answer questions. Sad thing, verse 14, very, very sad. And how many of us have got ourselves in trouble because we did not ask counsel at the Lord? Now that doesn't mean that if we prayed about something that the answer is, you know, God's will, because the devil hears our prayers and he can arrange things too. But yet, he did not answer counsel at the Lord. Verse 15, and Joshua made peace with them, so they made a league. Mistake. Hey, we've all made mistakes. Okay, this was this one was rooted in fraud, and there's the thing in our culture that if it's rooted in fraud, then the whole contract's null and void. But in this case, God made him keep it. He made him keep that contract. For how many years he made him keep that contract? Okay, we're in Joshua. You go through 13 judges. Samuel's the 13th judge. You go to King Saul. King Saul violates the agreement with the Gibeonites, and a bunch of Israelites lose their life because King Saul, hundreds of years later, 102 years later, violated this treaty. God held him accountable for it. And so you run that to 2 Samuel 21. Man, this has even taken us to David. 2 Samuel 21. God made Israel keep that contract. A contract that was got into falsely. A contract that they didn't pray about. And God made them keep that contract. Okay, so how do we apply these things? When we read these stories, learn from these stories, and then ask the Lord to help you see, how do I apply this in life? Okay, so if you're in a discussion with somebody and you ask a question and they didn't answer it, just take note of that. And if you want the answer, if you think the answer is important, ask it again. But when you ask it again, say, I asked this, but maybe I didn't understand. Did you answer this question? Ask it again. And then ask it a third time if you need to get that answer. And if they don't want to answer it, that's their choice. That's their choice if they don't want to answer it. But mark it down. Man, if it's true, you want to answer that question. So then in verse, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20, they discovered, we made a mistake. So they went back to these people in verse 21. 22, Joshua called for them, and he spake unto them, saying, wherefore have you beguiled us, saying, we are very far from you when you dwell among us. So they deceived Joshua. Now, we read on Thursday night that God really doesn't like it when the children of disobedience deceive his children. And he takes it out on them. Now, we're held accountable for the deception also. But God really goes after them. And so what he did here in verse 22 to 27, when you read down through there, he said, okay, you lied to us, but we're going to keep the agreement. But here's what we are going to do. You're going to become our servant. You said we'll be your servants. Okay, so you're going to be the drawers of water. You know, how would you like to? We are so, isn't it such a wonderful blessing of turn on a spigot, water comes out? Can you imagine every single day going down to a ditch or a well and 5 or 10 down bucket and carting it back to your house? Well, that's what they had to do. Now, that beat the alternative. They would have been dead after if that would happen. So I guess dragging water up for them beats the alternative. But here's a Bible story. A lot of people read that story and say, wow, that was a neat story. Yeah, but how do you apply that? And that's how you apply it. Somebody works wily when they don't answer a simple question. Take note of that and then apply that throughout life. Okay, that's chapter 9. Let's go ahead and pray. Lord, I do thank you for your words, and I do pray that you'd help us with the play, practice, and I pray you'd help us to recognize this book. This book is something that we can not only learn from, but apply. In Jesus' name, amen.